You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 11 minutes past 12. And of course, the show now is Community Connections. We're here to tell you about what's going on in the Yarra Valley. There are still things going on, and we'd like to update you. And I have with me today Jim Dawes. He's with the Yarra Valley B Group. Welcome, Jim.
Thank you very much, Alan.
It's great to have you here. There are a couple of things I want to talk to you first of all before we get into what your group actually does. But I've been reading probably over the last 12 months that bees are on the decline. And, of course, we all know for our food and all sorts of things we need bees. First of all, is that only in Victoria or Australia or is that worldwide? And secondly, what are the reasons for it, please, Jim?
It is worldwide. It's worse this year because of the bushfires in New South Wales and Queensland. There's a lot of hives wiped out. Victoria's fared fairly well. A lot of it's to do with varroa mite in the United States, in Europe, and now it's in New Zealand. We're trying to. So far, we've been lucky enough to keep it out of Australia, but it's not a case of if, it's a case of when it gets here. So varroa mite is really bad. That just wipes out whole colonies. So
How do they catch it, Jim?
It's brought in by a different type of bee, and it's just a little insect which lands on the back of one of a honeybee. And it sort of sucks all the blood out of the honeybee. It just kills them. But it doesn't affect the parent bee that brings it in. A lot of it's coming, you know, from Europe and Africa.
So it's not the sort of the way that over the years that we seem to have been poisoning them and all that sort of stuff. It's more this mite, is it, that's doing them in?
In Europe and America, it's the mite, but spray has a big thing to do with it too. A lot of the farmers and that now are not using the same toxic sprays as what they used to do, so that helps us out. But apart from that, you know, it's climate conditions and way people handle bees that also kills them. People see them as a pest rather than an asset.
Well, they have been over the years, haven't they, been declared a pest, really? I mean, people just, they're frightened of them. They don't want to get stung by them. And we'll talk about this in a few minutes. People, is it true, and I've heard this said before, and this is part of what we want to find out, is it true that when a bee stings you, that they'd automatically die?
Yes, once a bee stings, that leaves its part of its abdomen in you, and they die straight away. They're dead.
Right.
So the quickest way is just don't, when you get, if you ever get stung, don't grab the stinger and try and pull it out. Get your nail and flick under it and flick it out that way. And the quicker you get it out, the less is in. If you grab hold of it, you're just pumping the venom into yourself. So just get your fingernail underneath and flick it out.
Now, is a bee stings as dangerous as a wasp sting as well, or bees not as dangerous?
Oh, I think it depends on who you are, Alan. Bee stings are dangerous if you get a lot of them, but bees sting once, but wasps attack and they can sting multiple times. They don't die after they've stung you. And they're more of a herd mentality. A whole lot will come at you in wasps. You'll get a lot more stings off a wasp than you will off bees. And I would say wasps are a lot more dangerous than bees.
Oh, right. Now, Jim, we're talking about bees in decline, and obviously one of the things we're going to talk about as this hour progresses is about people becoming beekeepers. So how does somebody decide they're going to become a beekeeper? And secondly, then, how do they start and what sort of costs are involved in becoming a beekeeper?
Best way to become a beekeeper is join a club before you actually become, you get your hives. I was in the bee club at least 12 months before I got a hive. At least I wanted to give them a fighting chance to survive. I joined Yarra Valley, and I learned quite a bit before I actually joined, and I went to other people's hives and had a look and seen how they done it, and they taught me a lot. The cost varies depending on what you want, where you want to go, whether you want to get to the flow hive or not. Flow hives are very expensive. But you're probably looking to start up $200 or $300 to start. Just with
so what does that buy you, Jim? Like, how do you start with your hive?
Well, if you're in a club, what we do is we will give you a swarm. You know, in spring when they swarm, the bee club will help you out. When we get the swarms, we'll give them to our members. If you have to buy the bees, you're looking at around about $200 for a pack of bees, which is a couple of kilos of bees. The boxes, you need at least probably two boxes, two full-depth boxes to start with, and frames and foundation, which will probably cost you another, about $30 a box, plus each frame's probably $8, and you've got eight frames in a box. Plus, you need bottom boards and the roof. And it probably cost you more than that. I forgot about the suits and that. by the time you add it up, you're probably looking at about $1,000. By the suit, but I'm talking about just the bees themselves, it probably cost you $200 or $300. But by the time you put on the suit and the equipment, you're probably looking at $1,000.
Well, that's fair enough. Do you need a permit to have a hive in your backyard, or what sort of permit arrangement do you have to make with a council or anyone to be allowed to have a beehive?
You have to register your bees with the agricultural department.
Right.
First five hives are free. After that, you've got to pay a nominal fee. They'll send you out a number, registration number, and you're supposed to put it on your box, so that people know that, you know, the registration. If somebody wants to complain, they've got a registration, they can go to the agriculture department and they'll look up and see who it is. Councils don't, you can talk to the councils, but they only allow two hives in a quarter acre block.
I was just going to ask you that. So on a normal block, some of them are smaller than a quarter acre, so some you could only have one.
If you only had about 500, I'm not quite sure what the lowest is, but anything under about 500 metre block, or I don't think it'd be wise to have them in your backyard because it'd be too close. But that's I don't know what the council would say on that. On the normal quarter acres, two hives per block. Now it's got to be 6 feet away from each boundary fence, so it's not annoying the neighbours. And need to put water out before you put your hives in.
So in those, you've got a quarter acre block and you've got two hives, how many bees would you have there?
About 60,000, 70,000. On a good hive, between 30,000 and 50,000 bees in a strong hive.
Gee. Now they wouldn't all come out every day, would they?
No, only get the foragers out every day. You have a lot of bees still in the hive, like nurse bees and cleaner bees. They've all got their own little jobs they have to do. From when they come out of the cradle, they start feeding the nectar into the eggs, and they move up and they gradually move right through, and their last job is foraging. And a bee's life is only around 6 weeks.
Only 6 weeks?
Yep. They work themselves to death.
True. So when you say that, like you said, a nurse bee, what do you mean by a nurse bee? What's a nurse bee do?
Nurse bee will look after the young. They'll feed the pupa, you know, the egg of the pupa, and then they actually look after all the young. And then they also keep working up in the hive, do different sorts of jobs. The queen lays around about 2,000 eggs a day, so they really need to a lot to die so she can keep going anyway. Otherwise, you'd have...
So how many queen bees would be in a hive? Just the one?
Just the one.
And how many did you say that she can lay in a day?
She'll lay up to 2,000. In winter, she'll back that right down to just make sure the hive sustainable. But during spring and summer, she will be laying 2,000 eggs a day, around 2,000 eggs a day.
Does she only last the 6 weeks the same as the other birds or the bees?
She can last up to 5 years.
Sure. Jim, we're going to have to take a break. We've just got... take a break. We'll be back in a few minutes with more from Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
If you see me walking down the street, staring at the sky, dragging my 2 feet, you just pass me by. It still makes me cry. You can make me whole again. If you see me with another man, laughing and joking, doing what I can, I won't put you down, 'cause I want you around. You can make me whole again. Looking back on when we first met,
you love about the Yarra Valley? Food, wine, fresh air, spectacular views, and of course, Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
Welcome back to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier, and I've got with me Jim Dawes from the Yarra Valley Bee Group. And we've been talking a bit about bees, and they seem to be a pretty misunderstood little, I don't know what you call them. They're not an animal, but anyway, whatever they are, they certainly do a lot. And we've been hearing that, and we have been reading that they're not probably as many as what we should have. So Jim and all his members down there are obviously doing their best they can. Jim, you've obviously got a group that's called the Yarra Valley B Group. Tell us a little bit about what you do and where you meet and how often you meet, place, and what you do at those meetings.
We have got about 120 paid up members. We work out of ECOS at 711 Old Warburton Road there in Westburn. We have a meeting once a month, the last Sunday of every month, and we have guest speakers each month. Well, we try to have a guest speaker each month, and we're trying to promote younger people to come into the club and start up beekeeping. And we find a lot of the young ones, they're really good. They learn quicker than us old ones. And they're really interesting bees once they get into it. So we do encourage people, you know, young ones to come. But we encourage everybody to come to our meetings, which is on the last Sunday of each month. But apart from that, we do a lot of education. We try to educate. We also try to educate the public, the wider public as a whole, that bees are not aggressive. Bees normally leave you alone if you leave them alone. And a lot of times when they sting in self-defence rather than aggression. They don't really come at you.
Well, they more sting you if they feel under attack, do they?
Yeah, if they feel under attack, they sting. It's very seldom you get an aggressive beehive, but if you do, you generally just remove the queen and requeen her with a less aggressive queen, and in a couple of months, all the old bees, aggressive ones, will die out and the new ones will be really quiet.
Jim, you said before that the queen bee has got about a five-year lifespan and she keeps on breeding all these other ones. What happens when the queen bee dies in that hive? Is that the end of the hive or how does another queen bee come into that hive?
If the queen dies, or sometimes the hive will remove the queen. They will kill her. If they think she's not doing a good enough job, they will remove her herself and they will start a new queen. They will produce a new queen in the hive. They will use one of the eggs in the hive, which is only a few hours old, and they'll feed that with royal jelly and produce a queen. The queen cells are quite big, so anybody who goes into a hive will know the difference between a queen cell and an ordinary cell. So they will make their own queen.
It's a real sort of substructure, isn't it, really? It's got its own hierarchy and it's got its own sort of places in the hive family. You've got the workers, you've got the nurses, that look after the others, and then they can even create their own queen.
Yeah, and they've got their own guard bees. The guard bees sit at the front of the hive, stop other thieves coming in, you know, from other hives who want to come in and steal the honey. So they'll have guard bees. They have cleaner bees. Every cell in the hive will be clean before the queen will actually lay an egg. And if that cell is not clean enough, the queen won't lay in it. She'll press that bee cleaned again. So it's really one big organism in that hive. All the bees work as one.
Jim, can you, when you open your hive, like you've talked about the various types of bees, can you pick them or is that not possible?
You can tell the queen is a lot longer than the ordinary ones. The drones, they don't sting. The drones are the males. They don't sting. They don't work. They do a bit of air conditioning and they mate. That's about their job. And they're fatter, squat. They're squat and fat. The female bees, which is the workers, they're sort of a skinnier bee. And you can tell them they're different because of their abdomen. And the drone has got, his eye looks like one. It goes right across his face like it's one big eye. And the queen, you'll notice she's got a very big abdomen. So, you know, that's for laying. And don't forget, the queen only mates once. She gets enough sperm from the one mating to last her the lifetime. So she only leaves the hive once, unless she's leaving the hive to swarm.
So, and you said, like, she could last 5 years. So she only mates her once in the 5 years.
She only mates her once. She probably would never last 5 years. The bees would probably get rid of her before 5 years, or a beekeeper wouldn't get rid of her before 5 years, because she would start, you know, trailing down. She wouldn't be laying as many eggs, and she wouldn't be doing the job. And once she stops doing the job properly, the bees will get rid of her.
So when she comes, when she's died, then is there a time like why there's no queen bee while they're creating the next queen bee, or do they create the queen bee before they give the other one the shove, so to speak?
Well, they will create a new queen before she gets a shove. And they actually hide the cell, the queen cell, so that she don't see it. Because if she sees a new queen, she will sting through that cell and kill it. So the bees are smart enough to put it out of her reach.
So they're smart little critters, these bees, aren't they?
Yeah, they're actually classed as an animal by the agricultural department. So they're very cluey little things.
Jim, how many beekeepers do you reckon it would be in, say, in Victoria? Any idea?
No, I really don't know. I know Doncaster's got about 400 in their club, 400. And a lot of the commercial beekeepers won't be in a club, so I don't really know that answer.
Yeah, that's amazing. So somewhere like Doncaster, which is a build-up area, could quite easily have more beekeepers than what, say, like to the Yarra Valley.
That's possible too, because you get a lot more flowering plants in the city than what you do out in the valley. The valley relies on a lot of trees, gums and that to support their bees. Where in the city, every backyard's got a flower patch or fruit, or, you know, there's always something flowering. I'm at Muralbark, and I my bees are always out working because there's so much flowers about.
Jim, the question we've got to ask, of course, and I think we probably all know the answer, if the bees died out, we'd be in a terrible mess with our food and that, wouldn't we?
We would be, because research says there's one-third of our food is pollinated by honeybees. So one-third is a lot of pollination. And a lot of our bees pollinate the almond. You know, the commercial beekeepers take all their bees right around the country pollinating citrus groves, almonds, all that type of canola, all those types of plants, blueberries, cherries, you know. So a lot of the commercial ones take hundreds of hives to pollinate farms.
That was going to be my next question. So the average, like when I say the average, the non-commercial one, the people like yourselves, do you take your hives around anywhere else, or once you've built a hive in your yard, does it stay there basically forever?
I don't move mine. I've got some at Sylvan, Seville. I've got some at Wandon, and they just sit there, and I just go up and do them from there. I don't have enough to warrant taking them, because nobody would want two or three hives to pollinate their orchard, or because it's not enough. They want, you know, want hundreds of hives
to do that.
Yeah.
So if you were, like, some of these properties up in Seville, will take, because that's a local area, on a few acres, you wouldn't just take in one or two hives. You're taking quite a lot, would you?
Well, for one or two hives, you'd take, for one or two acres, that'd be, you know, two or three hives would be right. But we're talking about people with a couple of hundred acres or 300 acres, or, you know,
So if you had 200 acres, how many hives would you take in there, Jim?
Well, probably if that was all almonds, you'd probably take in a couple of hundred hives.
Gee. And how long would they stay there? Or when they put them in, did they stay?
They would only stay there a few weeks just to the flowering season. You know, once the blossom starts drying out, there's nothing in the net for the bees.
So how would you try, like, there's obviously, I didn't realise there were commercial bee companies, but if you're a commercial bee company, how would you transport those bees? How would you transfer the hives?
They're on pallets. They just forklift them onto the back of a truck, tie them down and transport them at night time. And they always transport at night. So you won't see bees being transported normally because it's in the middle of the night they transport the bees.
Is there a reason for that, Jim, why they do it at night?
Well, through the day, all the bees are out foraging or doing the pollination. At dark, they all come back to the hive. So that's when they shift them. And it's cooler for the bees. You don't want the bees to get too overstressed.
So you lock them down, do you? You close where they're going to get out and all that, and then just guard them.
Yeah, then some of them just put a tarp over. They don't even worry about closing the hives off. They just put a tarp over them and tie them down and leave them open nowadays. They used to lock them all in, but I believe a lot of commercial now just leave them open.
Are bees territorial? Like, do they stay within the area? Or if I had a beehive and someone in two streets away had a beehive, would they argue with each other out in there, or are they just very territorial and stay in their own spot?
No, they work together. They won't bother another bee unless the bee comes to their hive. Then they're territorial. They won't let another bee into the hive. That's why they've got guard bees out the front to make sure that no bee from another hive will come in. But outside of that hive, they don't mind. They'll just go where they want to. They actually put a marker when they take the nectar out of a flower. They leave a marker to say that this flower is no longer any good, and that stops other bees going to that flower. So there's a scent or pheromone left on the flower that they've taken the nectar out of to say the flower is dry. And as the flower builds up more nectar, that will make the pheromone disappear and it's open for business again. So they're virtually saying, once they've taken that nectar, this one's closed. Come back later.
See, that's unreal, isn't it? They're a real fascinating little animal, aren't they?
They're a very social animal. They're one big orgasm. They'll just work. Organism, they work as one. There's no disagreements. It's even when they're looking for a new home, when they swarm in spring. We should talk about it a bit later anyway. But they will. Each bee will. You might have five or six bees going out to different places looking for a new home, and when they'll come back and they'll say they found, and other bees will go out and check out. Until they all agree on which one to go to, they'll then go to that new home.
Gee. Jim, we've just got to take a quick break. You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley. And we'll just take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
Seasons out of time. I guess you do.
But welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley. At the moment, we're on Community Connections. I have with me Jim Dawes from the Yarra Valley B Group, and we've been talking all about bees, and I'm sure a lot of people have learned a lot today that I didn't know about it, what bees, how little smart critters they are. But Jim, talk to us a little bit about when they go away and swarm. We've all seen bee swarms.
Bees will swarm if the hive gets too full, where the queen's got nowhere else to lay. She'll take half the hive with her. They're called a hanging swarm. They'll just hang from a tree from one day to about 3 days before they find a new home. We normally go out and pick them up if people ring us up. The other one is swarms that land in people's homes, in their walls or anywhere, sheds. They're a bit of a harder one because we've got to go out, and they're called a cutout. So we have a gentleman, our president, does all the cutouts for us. He's very good at that. That does cost quite a, depending on how hard it is to get them out. That will cost a bit of money, but it still is cheaper than getting an exterminator in. So swarms just go hang from a tree until they find a new home. Hopefully we get them before they do.
Jim, we should just mention also that is, like, you offer that sort of service, don't you? So it's not only as people to join your organisation as to become a beekeeper, but one of the things that you do offer is that you offer to go out and take these swarms away, don't you?
We do. We'll go out and take them away. We request a small donation. You know, if the people can't afford it, we don't worry. We do like sort of a small donation, which helps our club run. It helps us buy new equipment. Without that, we're stuck. But we will do it for nothing as well.
And we will give details in the next few minutes of how people can get hold of you and find out more about the beekeeping, and also that if they do get bee swarms, that they can do something about it. Jim, another thing, I mean, obviously we've talked about the bees, but one of the big byproducts, of course, is honey, and it's extremely good for you. It's a natural product. So what do you do with the honey when you've got it, Jim?
We do sell it through the club. It's all cold extracted honey, so it's not, there's no heat treatment. So what the bees put in the cells is what comes out, what goes into the jars. You get all the pollen, you get everything what's good. If you heat treat it, it takes all the goodness out of the honey. So you get all that in the jars. So you can tell the difference between store honey and natural honey, which We do have a library where if you're in the club and you want to extract your honey, you can get the extractors from the club. We also have a book library in the club as well, so which helps. So that's all free of charge, if you remember.
So what does it cost to join your organisation, Jim?
I think it's about, don't quote me too much on this, but I think it's only about $30 for a single, and I think it's about $40 for a family. So it's not very expensive.
And you don't have
for
to
the
be
amount a, of stuff you get out of it.
And you don't have to be a member to buy the honey, like you can just go onto your website.
Oh, no. We do sell Lord Isle Show. We sell it at Kilsyth Festival because, well, we would have sold it there this year. That got wiped out. But those type of shows, or people can buy it off the club. They just have to ring us and tell us what they want.
Now, Jim, you have a hotline, do you, for if somebody gets a swarm, do you?
Yes. It's 0490-663-980. I'll repeat that. It's 0490-663-980. We've got an email also. It's YVBEE group@gmail.com. That's YVBEE group@gmail.com.
Now, Jim, also, for people that obviously we've tried to tell them a bit about your bees and a lot about the bees and quite a bit about your bee group today. Can you give us whether you've got a Facebook page, a website, and that phone number again, please, Chip?
We do have a website. If you just Google Yarra Valley Bee Group, that'll come up. And also, we do have a Facebook page with plenty of information on that, which is Yarra Valley Bee Group Facebook. And the phone number's 0490 663 980.
Jim, we should just ask you also, what's the difference between the wasp and how, for the average person who's walked along and they see these things buzzing around, how do they pick the difference between a wasp and a bee?
Wasps are very bright yellow. Bees are not bright yellow. Bees will sort of yellows, dull yellows to brownie stripes on their back, and the wasps are a lot bigger than a bee, and they're more aggressive than a bee.
Because a wasp will come after you, won't they?
They will come after you. A bee doesn't bother you. Unless you're bothering it, it won't bother you. Even I've been doing gardening, and I've been pulling plants, you know, things out around the bees, and they've never tried to sting me once. I've never had a problem with them. And I don't know anybody who has.
And so obviously when you go to get your honey out of these, like, you just don't go and take the top off the off the hive, do you? Like, you make sure you're pretty well covered.
You make sure you're well covered. You smoke them, give them a little bit of smoke, not too much, because you just taint the honey if you pump too much smoke into the honey. But you just take the box off, take it away, and then just extract it. You must extract it in a place where bees can't get to it, because it's illegal to leave empty honey frames or honey out in the open.
Why is that, Jim?
Because for disease purposes, you get robber bees from other places, and if your honey actually has a disease in it, like American foul brood or something like that, they will take that back to their hive, so it just spreads the disease through, you know, where it could be contained to your hive. It will spread it. Now, if you have American foul brood, that is a reportable offence, and the bees must be destroyed, and all the hives must be burnt, or they can be radiated, but it's cheaper to burn the hives and then buried. I believe buried 6 feet up, even the ashes, because the spores can last 50 years, I believe. My research has shown 50 years.
So, I mean, how do you kill the bees?
There is quite, you'd have to look, I don't want to really say how you really need to talk to the agriculture department before you even start, because you might be killing, a hive that shouldn't be killed.
You know? Oh, that's fair enough too.
If you've got a inkling that hive has got, American foul brood, you'll block off the hive, you'll shut it up so that the bees can't come in or out, and you'll contact the agricultural department, and they'll send out an inspector, and they will take you through how to destroy everything and how to get rid of it.
This mite that's killing these bees, or that does kill the bees from overseas. Yeah. Is that only transmitted from bees to bees, or is it transmitted through trees or any sort of foliage?
Bees to bees. My research shows it's just bees to bees. And it mainly, apparently the Asian bee is immune to it, and they're the ones that will bring it in.
Why are they immune to it? Do we know why, Jim?
I don't know. I haven't found an answer on that yet. I'm still sort of looking for answers on that. Agricultural department probably a good place to ask those. But as far as I know, they're immune. Don't worry the Asian bee, but it does worry the European honeybee.
Well, that's strange, isn't it? They must just have something in their own metabolism that you know, doesn't let it mutate or something like that.
Yeah.
Jim, look, let's just give that phone number out. This is for the Swarm Hotline. Also, if people are interested in your honey, do they ring that number or do they only go through your website?
No, they can ring this number. It's 0490 663 980.
So that's if you want to buy any honey, but also if you find a swarm in your own yard that you want to get rid of.
Ring that number.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's no good people doing anything else other. No, I guess if you take those swarms out, then are you able to go away and create them into a hive, or does that just the end of them anyway?
No, we put them in, we create another hive, and that hive will go to our members, you know, who's starting up. If you're starting up, we'll create the hive, and that's for you. Wasps are mainly in the ground, so if you see coming out of the ground, bees normally don't go into the ground unless there's a huge cavity in there. So, but wasps will comes from the, you know, they normally burrow.
Right. Jim, look, unfortunately, it's been a fascinating hour. I've learned a lot. I certainly hope the listeners have, and I'm sure they will have. Unfortunately, our time is with us. But, Jim, thanks very much. It's the Yarra Valley Bee Group, and I guess if they Google that, they can find out more details. But it's been a pleasure having you along, Jim, and I certainly I've learned a lot, and I think our listeners will have too.
Well, thanks very much for having us on, Alan. We really appreciate it.
No worries at all.
We look forward to new members.
No worries. I hope you get plenty.